All right, we've now been joined by our winner in tonight's NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race. We've been joined by Lane Riggs. Lane, congratulations on the win. We will go ahead and open for questions for Lane. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you, and we'll start up here with Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Raceface Digital. I'm pretty sure we did this in that exact fashion a year ago, and this was exactly the same time a year ago. It felt like in the season that you got on a roll. Does it feel like that again?
I really feel like we've been on a roll for a while now. We've had some misfortune, some things that really didn't go our way, and some missteps by us. But I feel like we've had competitive speed and race winning speed almost every race this year. So we are peaking at the right time, though, right when it counts, right when it matters inside the playoffs. And what a better place to do it at Bristol. I wish I could have done it last week at Darlington, but this makes up for all that for sure.
Take me through the final restart, and then, were you surprised that final stage ran all the way green and there weren't any restarts that you had to fend them off on?
I wouldn't say a little surprised, with the truck race, but I knew once everybody got pretty ironed out, I was like, okay, it's going to hopefully run green here, and I was praying that it would run green, but I had the confidence nobody was going to pit anyways, so when I was out front, I was just managing my gap, managing my tires, just trying to make sure if we did have another restart that I'd be okay. And just the top lane launched so well, and I was so fast on the top, like when I think I got to like seventh up to third in like one lap on one of those restarts. I just knew that I was going to be able to hold them off. It was going to be really hard for anybody to pass me with the lead. So just manage my stuff to make sure that it just made it easier on me if we did have one.
You feel like Johnny Rutherford after that spin and win now?
I definitely didn't make it easy on myself, that's for sure.
All right, we'll continue with questions. Did you have a question? No? Okay. Scotty, go ahead.
Sky Sprinkle, Raceface Digital. It seems like really this whole year you've been about one of the only full-time drivers that's been able to put pressure on Corey Heim, consistently. You're both locked into the next round. More than likely, you two will make the final four unless something crazy happens. How confident do you feel in being able to take the title fight to the most dominant driver this season? Do you think you can beat him?
Yeah, I think we showed that tonight. Pressure's on. We're inside the playoffs, and I think his pit crew made a mistake there, and we got some clean air out front. So we just got to, like I said, keep the pressure applied. I know that we can do it. We got the speed to compete, like you said, and it all comes down to one race, and you just got to be perfect that one night.
Okay, Zach, over here in the corner, please.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Liam, three wins now in the last seven races. You mentioned earlier that you feel like this 34 team has been on a roll for a while. That said, though, when things go wrong at Darlington, what were the emotions leaving there, and how much more emphasis did that put on coming here and doing what you did tonight at Bristol?
Yeah, I think just missed opportunity for me. We had a really strong day, and Darlington can bite up and get you pretty quick. So, I got bitten by the Darlington stripe again, and it's definitely a place that it's a risk versus reward track. I feel like we weren't really great at the end of the race, and I was having to push the issue to try to get that win, knowing that I had good stage points to kind of back on. So, didn't really work out that way. I feel like it was definitely, like I said, missed opportunity. I think the worst we would have finished was second. So, and then today, it really doesn't matter anymore. So, just what a rebound.
It took until Pocono to get the first win this year, but what do you feel like is clicking for the 34 team at this point that maybe wasn't to the same level results-wise in the first 13 races of the season?
Yeah, I think having a second truck was really big for us trying to – We literally tripled our workforce at Front Row, just trying to learn each other, figure out what we needed, figure out what Chandler needed, what I needed to be better. And just we had growing pains, and I feel like it was kind of odd that the 38 outperformed us at the beginning. And we're both really fast now, in and out, week in and week out. And I think that was kind of his experience, and just kind of being able to come back with a new team and do a little better with the growing pains. So, like I said, I hate the problem that he had tonight. I know that he was in need for a good run, so I hate that for the 38 camp, but. Like I said, we're really in our stride now. Like I said, we're both really fast and showing the speed week in and week out. And I said, hopefully both of us are at Phoenix for sure. Thanks.
All right, Jordan, go ahead.
Jordan Bianchi, when you that lap one spin, what's going through your mind at that time?
Why? What's going on right now? And I didn't even really process it or worry about it. I'm like, just got to run this race. We just got very lucky that spun down at the bottom, didn't get hit. He said, I felt like, you know, I was trying to be patient to start, but the 7 got really free off the corner, and I got up under him, and I felt like I was all the way to his door for a long way down the straightaway. It wasn't like a dive bomb or anything, so I guess he just didn't know I was there. I know, I'd hope it wasn't on purpose to try to chop me, but yeah, lucky. I got two mulligans inside the playoffs, a mulligan at Darlington and a mulligan tonight, and came back and somehow won the race.
One, did you think you had a come back and win the race even though you were at the back? And then two, there were some aggressive moves you were making. Was that intended as part of a byproduct of having to come from the back, or is that just kind of the natural course of racing at Bristol?
First question, yes, I knew we could win. I knew we were fast enough. I mean, I think we were pretty much overall the best. We were the fastest in practice and had the best average speeds, and I just felt really good about the truck. So I knew that we had a lot of speed to do it. I know that last fall we qualified 18th and worked our way to the front and won. I'm very glad that the PJ1 burnt off the bottom so we could be able to move around and make some moves. And, you know, it felt a lot like the fall race did here last year, even when they didn't apply it. So I feel like I just tried to use that to my advantage, what I remembered from then and what adjustments I needed to make throughout the night to be better. And like I said, for sure, I was being aggressive. And, you know, I think like 3 wide outside from like 7th to 3rd. And like I said, pretty much it doesn't really matter. If I'm not leading, I'm going to take moves like that if I feel comfortable enough doing them and know that I'm close enough to the front that I can race around those guys and, you know, get to their outside quickly, spotter call them, know they're going to give me the room. So you got to take more risks when you don't have just such a clear path for sure, and just lucky it all worked out for me.
Yes, this playoff is a one-race championship finale, but you look at the last 7 races, it's you or Corey that have won the race. Is this championship going to come down to one of you two?
I would think so. I would think us two and Chandler right now. That's my three picks. I don't really know who 4 is going to be yet, but I don't think so.
All right, we're going to go to Davey and then Bob.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. This place is tough for a lot of people, a lot of veterans, a lot of Hall of Famers. It's taken so long for them to win here. What has been different with you and this racetrack? Why have you taken to it so well so quickly?
Well, obviously our team at Front Row Motorsports has a great package here, and we've only made it better over the 3 races. I mean, past 3 winners here is really a great accomplishment for the team as a whole. So we have a great package. We work in the simulated Ford Performance Simulator, Ford Racing Simulator, a lot, and just try to make it better every time. We're never content. I was already talking to my crew chief about things we need to change to be better here next time. So, yeah, I just think that we have a really good package. I got a feel for the place. I actually ran late models here a long time ago. I feel like it's a place you gotta go balls to the wall, and I'm not a person that's scared to do that.
Speaking of your crew chief, he got married over the weekend. You were there. You guys seem to have a really good relationship. He was a racer himself, still does a little bit now. What is it about your guys' relationship on and off track, I guess, that's making everything seemingly go so well right now? What's clicking with you two right now?
Yeah, he's like a brother to me. He's you know, we're pretty close in age. He's only a few years older than I am, and same engineering background, racing background. I mean, me and him just relate on so many aspects. And so having the personal relationship outside the racetrack, can call him at any time and talk about stuff. And I just feel like to be as young as he is and as young as I am, we really are mature together and can make stuff happen. So, yeah, just great to have him on my side for sure.
Okay. Bob, go ahead.
So did you think you threw it away there on the first lap?
Yes. But when I realized I didn't hit anything, came in, got some tires, stayed on the lead lap, and I'm in the game here. I'm not really worried about it. I was, you know, looking kind of at the ARCA race, looking at how practice progressed and how the lanes were going to be able to move around. I'm just glad that it wasn't just absolute bottom feeder all night, because if it was, it would have been really, really hard to get my way to the front. So, yeah, I just knew we were really good on the long run. I kind of struggled like the first 10, 15 laps of run, but after that I could really make some moves. And even making those moves to the front, I wasn't happy with the balance, so I just knew how much potential we have, and it's not over till it's over, you know. I'm just, like I said, I'm very lucky, and I'm fully aware of that. The another mulligan that I got tonight.
And were you concerned that Ben Rhodes was gonna? I mean, it looked like for a while there that he was going to put up a challenge.
Yeah, I feel like pretty much my strong suit was just running the top. Running the bottom was just trying to save my equipment. So You know, same battle that me and Corey had there for many, many laps. Him on the top, me on the bottom. It's just so hard to complete that pass when you have pretty equal trucks. I knew that it would be really hard for him to complete that as well. And I knew that the balance I had wasn't quite right when he was on my heels, and I was just trying to manage it and knew it was going to come to me later, and he was probably going to fade just off of the trends earlier in the race from our lap times. So, yeah, I feel like I had it all under control. And, we had a good battle there, a little air blocking, and, yeah, it's always good to race with him.
All right, we're going to go Steven and then Lee. Go ahead.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Lane, your fifth career win in the Craftsman Truck Series ties you with your father, who also had five. I know that, growing up, having your dad be a race car driver, I can imagine that heavily influenced you to become a race car driver yourself. But in doing that, did you ever envision a scenario where you got the opportunity to match and accomplish your father did, or even have the opportunity to surpass him now?
Yeah, it was always the hope, and it was the countless years, 12 years of racing late models in the Southeast and just hoping for the opportunity to one day get it. And, I had enough confidence in myself. I knew if I got in a top tier ride, I could perform and make it happen. And I'm just so thankful to Front Row. They gave me the opportunity to drive their truck. It was great when it got given to me, and I feel like I've, kept it in pretty good hands. So, just super thankful to Bob Jenkins and Jerry Freeze that believed in me. I didn't have a lot of experience and a lot of stats to back me up, but it's great. I've had to look at his trophies for a long, long time, and I'm so glad that he was here tonight to celebrate, and he's just a proud dad.
Now, about that, your dad got all five of his truck wins in 01. You have, now you've got two winning seasons. Is that do you feel like that gives you a one up over your old man, or are you saying they're like, man, I should have a 5-win season myself?
I think he's got it too. Right. It's all about timing is what he tells me, and both of our timings worked out at the right time for sure.
Right. Thanks, Lane. Appreciate it.
All right, go ahead, Lee.
Lee Spencer, Series 6 NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. What did you learn being on the outside looking in at the playoffs last year, that you and Dylan kind of assessed the situation and how, if and when you got into the playoffs, you would use to your advantage to go against the field?
Yeah, it was nice to race around those guys. I'm so glad that we had the speed and felt like we were in the mix and contention for wins, and even won races inside when those guys have, nights like this on the line. So just racing around them, just knowing, the pressure and what it takes to be successful. Like I said, they taught me a lot, and I'm just really glad that I'm now able to apply it myself. Thanks.
All right. I think that is all the questions. Lane, congratulations again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Y'all have a good night. I appreciate it, guys.